The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, on my desk, you can ask, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He has been actively detecting as well. Well, he's been detecting on two fronts, so I'll say nothing except, hi, Frank, how are you?
Well, I'm very well, and that's part of what I was detecting because I had my checkup. But we'll get that for my multiple myeloma clinical trial, which went very well. But I'll catch up with that in 1 minute. There is breaking news again, guys, and this is Connecticut. So Governor Lamont is starting to get into gear. And what the Democratic-controlled legislature and Lamont want to do is to create a public option. You might remember there was a lot of debate about public option when the Affordable Care Act was passed. The Obama administration wanted it, and it was opposed by the insurance industry. So, and other doctors who are afraid of low prices. So what a public option is a government-backed insurance plan. It doesn't necessarily mean the government itself goes into the insurance business, but the government can contract with outside providers, but the government dictates the coverage and puts limits on the cost, and also supplies subsidies for people who can't afford it that would include quote-unquote middle-class people as well as the poor. So this is what Connecticut is about to do, and Connecticut will reintroduce the individual mandate. That means everybody has to have insurance, or you pay a penalty in the state of Connecticut. Obviously, that's no longer the federal law because of Trump, but it would be the Connecticut law. So if you don't like any insurance options that are out there as an individual, the government will have a plan, and it will be affordable, we assume, because they're trying to keep prices 20% below the going market rates, and there'll be subsidies. Kind of bad news is it doesn't get going until 2020, so you got to wait a while for it. But once it's up and going, it'll be for individuals as well as small businesses. Now, that's key. Businessmen have been under a lot of pressure for the cost of insurance. They've been making insurance for workers more and more expensive. A lot of workers are taking high deductible plans, which essentially say you pay $4,000 or $5,000 out of your own pocket before you even get a penny back from insurance. And that's a lot of money. This would be an option. And the boss himself can say, hey, guys, here's a better way to do it. We're going to go with the state. And your premiums are going to be 20% lower. It looks like a good route for everybody. So that's happening, Jill, and not only happening in Connecticut. Similar measures are being discussed very seriously now in Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, Illinois. And remember, this is one thing the Democratic lawmakers can do in Washington in 2020 instead of Medicare for All. This would be a step toward government getting more involved in providing health care without going all the way to scrapping policies that you get at work altogether for a government-backed plan. You can leave it to your employer to choose the public option. Now, who's against it? Well, Republicans are against it. Who else is against it? The insurance companies are against it. Why is that? Because it's going to be cheaper, more affordable insurance. Yes, that's what the Republicans have been saying all along. That's what we're going to provide. Guess what? They haven't done it. This public option, which the Republicans rejected back at the Affordable Care Act and the federal level, is now catching on state by state. So that's a pretty big development. I'm happy to pass it on to you as breaking news.
Well, thank you. That's also it's also good to know. You know, some people have far more patience with the amount of time it takes to sort this sort of stuff out than I. So
yeah.
If you ever hear that I've gone into politics, I'd really run the other way.
Well, you know, you have to put in a lot of study to be able to understand the terms. It's like learning French. I mean, you or
how about
Polish
Italian
or something?
No.
Yeah, or Italian. Well, Italian is not that hard to learn. I mean,
neither.
But this stuff is, because it really healthcare has its own vocabulary, and if you don't understand the words, what is a public option? What's a single payer? If you don't understand the concept, you don't know what they're talking about.
You're absolutely right. You know, it's actually a bit like reading.
It's
a bit like reading real estate listings.
Yeah.
Because you have to know
real estate contract.
Exactly. But you sort of need to know the code for what's being described. Figuratively and literally, you need to know what the code is for what's being described.
Right. So meanwhile, back at the ranch. So I had, listeners may remember, should remember, that because I've reported on it so many times, not that they're obligated to, but that I've had a multiple myeloma, that's a blood cancer. I've had it for 10 years now. I'm beginning to show up in medical books, at least as a data point. I went 5-6 years just taking a pill a day. So I've had a relatively easy experience until the last couple of years, when I started to go through medicines right and left. Some would, instead of getting years of relief, I was getting just a couple of months of relief, and we were running out of medicine. So we tried a stem cell transplant. People do that. I was advised by a very good doctor and a friend of mine that it probably will not help you. You may have to go straight to a clinical trial, risky and experimental. But, you know, one step at a time. So I did the clinical trial 2 years ago. I did the stem cell 2 years ago in the spring. Didn't help me a bit, and it was rigorous, and I was quarantined essentially for 6 weeks, and I walk around with a mask and rubber gloves, scaring everybody in the neighborhood. I couldn't touch them, whatever. I could walk up to a fruit stand, grab anything I want. Nobody would have said a word except, stay away from me. You look really weird. So that was no fun at all, and it didn't do me any good. So then we went looking for a clinical trial for immunotherapy, and that is essentially the idea of getting your own immune system boosted, re-engineered, so that it attacks your specific cancer. Yes, it's science fiction, but you know what? It works, or at least works sometimes, and it certainly worked for me. So it's like giving a transfusion. It wasn't painless at all. You just, you know, one tube out of one arm into a machine that captures your T cells, which are white blood cells. We all have them. They fight cancer very well, or other infections. And the blood goes, without those T cells, the blood goes right back into your arm. Takes a couple hours, kind of boring, actually. Then you come back in a couple of weeks. That gives the scientists in the lab a chance to re-engineer those T cells so that they attack your specific mutation. In my case, it's something called BCMA. It's a protein, sits on top of my cancer cell and camouflages it. So my immune system doesn't recognize that it's cancer, it just goes sliding on by. The new stuff doesn't like BCMA at all. So it attacks BCMA, drilling down literally through it to the cancer cell, explodes it all up. Now, that causes all kind of havoc in your body. So once you start running a fever and the T cells go to work, you're in the hospital. And in my case, I was in the hospital for roughly 28 days. I had round-the-clock fevers, but that was very good. According to the doctors, that was a sign that the T cells were causing havoc to my cancer cells. And that was all fine. The fevers finally abated. And guess what? You know, I essentially come out of the hospital 30, 40 days later from the whole experience, 40 days experience, because the fevers even lingered after I went out of the hospital, which was, again, a good sign. I came out of the hospital cancer-free. I've never been cancer-free since I got this cancer 10 years ago, but I was cancer-free. And I've been cancer-free now for 2 years. So this week we went back down to the University of Pennsylvania. It's the Perelman Center for Advanced Medicine. That's where the clinical trial was. And they checked me every 3 months. And guess what? It was perfectly routine. My cancer is not active. I am in what they call complete remission. I call it remish because I don't like to push my luck. But we were fine, Jill. That's my that's my update. I can give you some restaurant tips in Philly.
Yes, no, you have been. How often now do you have to go and be checked?
It's now about every 3 months. I should rank myself now. We were 20 people in the trial. The very first guy, amazingly enough, who, by the way, could not tolerate the full medicine. He only took two doses instead of three. I took all three. But anyway, he only took two doses, then his body couldn't take it anymore. But guess what? He went 2.5 years cancer-free. Now, half the people can't tolerate the medicine at all. So you take them out. So it leaves 10. Now, this guy tolerated enough of it, obviously. He went 2.5 years in remission and now is on a maintenance drug and is doing okay. There's one guy ahead of me by a couple of months. And then there's me. So there's three of us who've had really what they call durable responses. And in my case, it's now 22 months. I am definitely going to reach 24 months. But I go back in 3 months. I go back in late August, Jill, and I will have another head-to-toe CAT scan looking for any activity in these tumors I have in my body. But because of the clinical trial, these T cells, these great fighting T cells, all of my tumors are about the third of the size they were, and they're not active. They're shrunk like a raisin. And I could live the rest of my life with that. They wouldn't bother me whatsoever. So we're hoping that when I go back in late August, they do the head-to-toe CAT scan. And again, my tumors will be little benign raisins, and I'll be fine. And in that case, I've had a chance to go 3 years. Now, I just checked in today with Lori Alf. I don't know if you remember Lori Alf. But
she was,
in fact, the first person.
You did some shows about her. I think it was a two-parter. Yeah. And she was very successful. How is she doing?
5 years, Jill.
Okay.
5 years. Yeah, she had the same doctor as I had. Obviously, she was ahead of me. She had 2 weeks to live and weighed 80 pounds. This was really experimental. The doctors didn't think she was going to make it, even withstand. And in those days, they gave you even more medicine and a transplant right back to back with chemo and then the T cell. They hit her with all three things when she weighed 80 pounds and was living on transfusions. Somehow she took it all. And 30 days later, she was cancer-free. I mean, that's the one I told you about where the lead doctor at the University of Pennsylvania, the research guy who only knows the patients by numbers, was brought to tears when he met her at a conference. She went up to him and said, "You saved my life." And he said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I'm 001.
So that's... Have they made the film of this yet?
No, they... Yeah, somebody should make the film. It's a great film.
But it also opened the door to a certain type of an embrace. I mean, that was the other thing I wanted. I should finish that sentence. It opened the door to embracing this as a viable, a potential way, and then moved on to an actual way to manage these conditions, which prior to then had been absolutely terminal.
Right. Well, we didn't have any FDA-approved drugs.
Right.
Now we've got FDA-approved drugs for blood cancer. The pioneering stuff was really done even before Lori Alf. It was done with children with leukemia, and they were dying at 4 or 5 years old. And they had kids that, again, like Lori, just had weeks to live, who are now teenagers. So that therapy, that immunotherapy, and this is University of Pennsylvania, pioneered the stuff. That has become FDA approved, and now it's available around the country. They took that medicine and tried to walk it across the bridge to myeloma. And with Lori Alf, they were successful. Not successful with everyone, God knows, but they were successful with Lori Alf. They've learned from it, refined it. And I came along a couple of years after Lori Alf, and it worked for me. Now, the new generation doesn't attack just one mutation. it attacks at least two. So they got two agents going after you. I had a lot of BCMA camouflaging my cancer, but I've got some other stuff too. So if they ever decided to give me a booster, that's a theory, okay, you come back for a booster shot the way you do sometimes with vaccines. If they ever decided to give me a booster, it would be something that attacks more than one mutation. Here's the catch, Jill. Last time I looked, multiple myeloma had 54 mutations.
Hence multiple.
that's kind of multiple. And that was a couple of years ago. They might have found a few more. The whole game here is to keep it under control. Leukemia, that childhood leukemia, if you're 5 years old when you get this stuff and you're walking around when you're 15, you're probably cured. They probably got your mother cancer cell, not just the brother-sister cells, the peripheral cells, but they killed the mother and you're fine for life. You're safe. They haven't gotten quite there with myeloma, but my doctor, Ed Stottmeyer, told me yesterday that if I went back on a maintenance drug, he actually wouldn't do a booster. They now have FDA-approved drugs that would go into my body, get my T cells, which are a little tired now for 2 years later, they've been fighting all this stuff, sort of wake them up and redirect them to my mutation. So in a way it's a booster, but it wouldn't be what I went through in the hospital and all that stuff. It'd be a transfusion and it would be off the shelf. And it would be, he says, he thinks very effective, and with minimal side effects. So for any listeners worried about cancer or blood cancer and know about it in your family, there are tremendous strides being made in these blood cancers, lymphoma, leukemia, multiple myeloma, any of these blood cancers. Immunotherapy seems to be an excellent path to pursue. I only say this. It's not the first thing you do. Remember?
Yes, we did that show too.
I took a pill a day for 5 years. That's all I had to do. In fact, 6 years. Because then I took a second pill that worked for another year. I took a pill a day for 6 years, minimal side effects, before I had to do anything heroic, like a stem cell or a clinical trial. With clinical trials, you do sign a waiver that admits to you that you could die from this.
Right.
And they explain how that could happen. Because if the cancer cells have gotten to your brain and then you explode those guys with the medicine, that's a lot of explosions in your brain, and that's not good, and you can die. So I had to sign that waiver.
As would anybody else, and unfortunately...
As everyone else would have to, yes. So it's nothing to do. It's nothing to rush to do, but it's very... It's reassuring and gives you some peace of mind while you're trying other medicines to know that if you get to that point, doctors now have years of experience with immunotherapy. They have a track record of success with at least half the people get some success from the treatment, and they're getting better at it every day, and the FDA is approving drugs. And more will be approved. So, look, you know, if this stopped working for me, and let's say next time I go down in 3 months, and they say, "Oops, okay, geez, that's starting to your tumors are starting to get
it's
active
not
again."
Game over. It is not game over. You've got there's
yeah,
something
I've
else
got
that
new
can
medicine.
Be done.
That medicine has already been effective in some people in my condition for another 2 years, and guess what? At the end of those 2 years, they'll have other stuff. Every time I go back, and every time a cancer patient goes back to their doctor, those doctors have at their fingertips better medicine than they had the last time. So, look, who the hell wants this cancer? But a lot of progress is being made. And if you're a grandparent, your grandchildren are not going to fear cancer the way we do. It'll be our attitude toward polio is going to be the attitude that your grandchildren will have toward cancer. There will be vaccines, if they get it, that will cure them for life. They'll hear about some bad cases, but it'll be the way we heard about some bad cases of polio when we were kids, when we were adult, at least teenagers, when that when the Salk vaccine had taken hold and polio is no longer a public threat.
All good news. Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts, and look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, and on my desk.